Let's talk about the larger effort here to preserve what's an important part of American history, of Virginia history, of the history of the South, and it's the American Civil War Museum, which is now the umbrella organization for what used to be the Museum of the Confederacy and the museum that was at Tredegar Iron Works that covered the Civil War. And Christy Coleman is the head of that museum now. And I'm really glad to have you here on the program. Thank you so much for opening your doors to us at the White House this morning so that we could share the story.
Certainly. Thank you for the interest.
I mentioned in the tease before we went to the break that a lot of people, myself included, were probably surprised. Was it 10 years ago that you took this job?
At Tredegar, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 10 years ago that an African American woman would want to take on the challenge of telling the story of the Civil War. Some people who are African-American in Richmond don't want to talk about the Civil War. And then there's a whole nother group of people in Richmond who assume that if you are, not a born and bred Southerner, and if you are African-American, that you might want to change the narrative or even erase part of the narrative here. And that's got to be a personal challenge and a professional challenge for you. How's it been over these 10 years?
Well, first of all, I was born in the South, and I was raised in Virginia in Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Virginia girl as much as anybody else. And,
right. Yeah.
The part about what my particular bias would be certainly was a question. It was more confusion, as you mentioned, when I first took the job, given the other roles that I've had in my career, but. At the heart of all of it, I have always believed that history has never been for the dead. It's for the living. It's for us to reflect on, to think about our current situation. And so when you do that and when you bring the fullness of the narrative to the fore, the people who have either felt marginalized or the people who have never taken a moment to consider that the lens by which they explore a particular topic could be more expansive, I think they end up surprising themselves. And that's essentially what we've done. It isn't about erasing anything, or it's really more about trying to get the whole story complete. And there isn't a completeness when you have, one narrative dominating. Mm-hmm. And so, our goal has been to put the political, the social, the military all back together the way people lived it. And when you do that, there are pieces that you see and that you recognize, but there hopefully is so much more that, again, you hadn't considered. And that's essentially what we do.
We're 150 years past the end of the Civil War. Has it been a challenge to try to find those stories before they either escape from oral history, the people who heard the story from their grandmother or their great-grandmother before they die, and is there, contemporary recollections of what took place there that are documented that were on the verge of being lost?
Neither of those is really true. What happens is when you approach the subject with a different question, you can go back to the historical record and see what that record has to say about it. I'll give you an example that we have experienced ourselves. So what many people may not know is that the museum has, and specifically our Museum of the Confederacy collection, has the largest assembly of various types of Confederate flags, different regimental flags, home guard flags, things of that sort. Well, in 1904 and 1905, the U.S. War Department, as it was called, gave to the museum all of its captured flags. And for decades, when those flags were displayed, of course, they were being displayed reflective of the units that fought under them. Yeah. When we became this new institution, we had an additional story to tell. What could we find out about those regiments that actually captured those flags? Who are in those stories? And that's where a whole new again, set of questions and understanding comes to bear. So it's that kind of thing. I mean, it really is that rich. And as a matter of fact, some of those very flags, you know, you asked about African-Americans and Civil War. Several of those flags were actually captured by United States colored troops. And so that gave us names of individuals who, several of them were runaway slaves from Virginia who had run off to the Federal Army and eventually become enlisted men and fight and come home. It's really quite remarkable. So I think that's where we have to go. I tell people all the time, you know, to give them a sort of a modern comparison. I said, listen, most of us that are of a certain age know exactly where we were, exactly what was happening, how we got the news of when the Twin Towers fell on 9/11. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were doing a history of what happened on 9/11, if I only look at that from that particular event, from my personal perspective or your personal perspective, would I have a full account of what happened that day?
Right.
And the answer is no.
Right.
Absolutely not. And so that's, again, that's really what we do. We look at it from a variety of the historical records that really can paint a very different picture sometimes than the ones that we were told. But, you know, that's a challenge for any museum, really. We all know that we come into this with sort of dealing with the trifecta. The trifecta is the historical record, what really happened that was recorded. Mm-hmm. We deal with memory, those recollections of individuals who lived through it. Sometimes, you know, after several years, they leave out details or they want to shift the narrative in some way, right?
Sure.
Embellish. And then there's the heritage piece. And the heritage piece applies to everyone. And that's the things that were passed down to us to help us remember.
Well, and in our last minute, I want to give you an opportunity to tell us about the big changes that have happened with the merger of these museums and the anticipated grand opening of the new expanded museum at Tredegar. That's coming mm-hmm. up when in 2019?
We're going to, the grand opening is in May. And in the meantime, there is a lot of work to do. There are collections to move, et cetera. For the house, as you know, it's been a really lovely year of exploring the full 200 years of the history of that house. It served as the White House of the Confederacy for 4 years, which means it had 196 years as something else. And so, you know, this year has given us a chance to really explore all of that.
Well, we're excited about it, and I will look forward to sharing with you the grand opening of the newly mm-hmm. expanded American Civil War Museum at Tredegar in the spring of 2019. Christy Coleman.
Yes, it's going to be wonderful. Thank you.
We really appreciate it, and thanks again for your hospitality this morning.
Absolutely. Enjoy. Bye.
All right.